Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We ask that you please open your hymnals to number 417. We'd like to go over a piece that we're going to sing for our closing song today, but we're also going to be singing this throughout the Easter season. It's called This is the Feast of Victory, number 417. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness.
Welcome to worship at Advent. You were in good voice this morning. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Pray. And as you hear the collect, this really captures the theme of the scripture readings for this morning. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and to be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Please be seated.
M-
Moses is transformed by his close relationship with God. May we all be so close to our Father's face that our very visage would be affected. A reading from the book of Exodus. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commandments the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 99, found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. The Lord is king. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is above all peoples. Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One. O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and worship him upon his holy hill. For the Lord our God is the Holy One. Glory be to the Father,
and
to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning,
as now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. More than provide a romantic reading for dewy-eyed wedding party, the Apostle Paul calls every person to radical love of neighbor in this letter to the recalcitrant Corinthians. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desired the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the Lord according to Luke. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 9. Just several days earlier, Jesus had asked the disciples the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And now he's going to show them, starting in verse 28. Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and James and John and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. Stop there for a second. Sometimes when we encounter the Lord in a really powerful, personal way, we don't know what to do. So we resort to old religious practice, which is what Peter did, because there is a Feast of Tabernacles. This was not at all about that. This was about encountering the reality of who the Lord was in his divinity. And I just want you to think about this, that day is coming to Advent. And can you receive when the Lord comes and changes your understanding of who he is and deepens it in a really powerful, personal way? Scripture continues. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I'm looking for
seated. This morning I want to take you into the gospel reading a little bit further. On your bulletin cover, this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. That's just a powerful message that I will speak a little bit more deeply about. But think about this. Here was Moses, here was Elijah, and the voice from heaven says, as they were disappearing, listen to him. The law was honored, the prophets were honored, but listen to my son. In other words, it was a new day, it was a new beginning, and the disciples had a very difficult time at that point grasping what it meant. And that's where I want to dive in a little bit. I want to take you right to the edge of what it seems that the Bible is saying about Moses and Elijah and what happens when we transition into glory. The transfiguration came a few days after Jesus had asked that question, who do you say that I am? And a part of what happened in the three first gospels talk about it, that his face, something happened to his face. His garments became white as snow. Mark says that whiter than any laundry could possibly get a garment. So something dramatic has changed. And a part of what it means for me is that when we come to the Lord, when we're born again, when we have his spirit in our hearts, that radiance is actually inside of us, inside of you. And sometimes when you bump up against someone who is not a believer or someone who has an issue with the God of the Bible, you get a negative reaction. Now, on the mountain, there was no negative reaction. It was difficult to grasp what this was. This was so far beyond the experience of the disciples, they didn't know what to do. Down from the mountain, when you have had your, if you will, mountaintop experience of coming into the presence of the Lord, down in the mountain is where the real challenge is. How do I live out now, understanding that on the inside I've been dramatically changed, but on the outside I look the same? And that's the call in our lives, to be reflections of the Lord. The word metamorphosis or metanoia, which is not translated into English, the Greek word is just put into English, is similar to the concept of a beautiful monarch butterfly that is a caterpillar that goes into a chrysalis for a couple of weeks or so and emerges as a butterfly. It's the same creature. But you wouldn't know to look at the butterfly that it used to be a crawly little thing. There is an innate change that has transformed that little caterpillar into something magnificent. I have mentioned to you in the past one wedding I did in Florida one year at Butterfly World, where as we were sharing the vows, butterflies came, landed on my shoulders, on the bride's shoulders. I wonder why not on the groom. But that's a different story. But point being, these lowly caterpillars were freed into a new place where they could go anywhere in that beautiful butterfly world. That's a part of what happens on the inside of us that isn't fully released until we are transformed at the end of days. But that thing, that transformation starts at the first day that we come to know the Lord. Now, on the mountaintop, it was as though the curtain of time or the veil of time was pulled back, and the disciples were able to see two people who had died or gone to heaven hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And that would be very difficult to comprehend. The disciples understood who Moses and Elijah were. At some level, they were able to discern who these men were that appeared in glory. And to make sense a little bit about what is happening here in regards to death and the glorification that happens at the end of time when Jesus comes back, two important simple concepts that I hope will be edifying to you. One is the idea that the general resurrection hasn't happened yet. We know that happens when the trumpet sounds, Jesus appears in the air, and believers go to be with him forever. But there are examples of resurrections in the Bible. Jesus, of course, was not a part of the general resurrection. In Matthew, it talks about, at the end of Matthew, about saints who had died, but whose tombs were opened when Jesus was on the cross. Just an amazing thing. And believers or saints who had died walked around the streets of Jerusalem. They had been mourned. They had come back to life. This wasn't the glorified resurrection. This was an example of what would happen at the end. Elijah and Elisha both raised people from the dead. Jesus did with Lazarus. Those are examples, but it's not the general resurrection that's to come. So that's the first simple concept. And the second one is that there will be people on the earth when Jesus comes back who will never die, who will go from life on earth to life in heaven. And here's why that's important. Moses represents those people who had died, but he was given a glorified body that we see on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah represents those who will never die, but who will be raised up from the earth to meet the Lord in the air and be transformed into glory without ever having gone through the throes of death. So that's a powerful thing. Moses represents one class, Elijah and another, but they both come together to be with Jesus on that mountain as he revealed more of himself and who he was. In the book of 2 Kings, I think it's chapter 2, we read that Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land. He went to a mountaintop where God showed him the land that he had led the people to. Then it says in Kings that God himself, think about this, Father God buried Moses. Didn't call the local funeral director, God did it himself. The Israelites never learned where the body was. But Moses physically died, but yet on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was with the Lord. So a part of what that means for me is that no matter where we are, whether we are that last generation or whether we are the multitudes of generations before that have believers that have gone to the ground, that we receive a glorified body. But here's the thing. The general resurrection hadn't happened yet, and Moses, who had physically died, was in his glorified body. So a part of what that means for me is that explains what happens when we die, when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, that we go into the presence of the Lord. One of the things that I find just interesting, Jesus had said a bit earlier that there are some of you here who will not die before you see the kingdom of God. Those three disciples saw the revelation of the kingdom of God. They had an experience of some of the glory that would be in heaven that was in Jesus and now was revealed, and also the glorified bodies of the man who represented the law and the man who represented the prophets. So as you think about people that you know and love who are believers who have died, how comforting it is to know that we are, of those two concepts, we follow after Moses, who died, was buried, but is glorified with the Lord. It's an amazing thing to grasp. So the presence of those two at the Transfiguration says something the disciples couldn't understand. But it means that we have hope for the future. No matter where we are now, we understand that God has prepared something for us that the greatest of the early disciples couldn't integrate. I want to read to you from 2 Peter. This was, of course, after the ascension, after Pentecost. And he's writing, and here's what he says. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly beloved Son who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven, and we were there with him on the holy mountain. That's what we believe. That's what Peter declared. When we come to Jesus, we're transformed, and that process continues right until the end of our lives. We're reconfigured before God. That's, theologians call that justification, that we come to a place where our past failures and sins, as well as our future ones, are dealt with on the cross. It's over. That transformation begins on the inside, and then it goes the rest of our lives. That's called sanctification, where we walk away from the way that we used to live to now seek to live in a way that pleases God. We expect that the Lord will intervene in our lives, that he will provide for us in ways that we can't provide for ourselves. This is why we want to share the gospel through our church, in our community, and worldwide, because we understand that something has happened that is available to every man and woman on earth through Jesus that changes everything, that deals with the past, deals with our present, and transforms the future. It's a wonderful revelation that my hope this morning is that you will not forget, that you will understand that as a believer, you are part of something that is so beyond comprehension that the little that we get is enough to change us on the inside. Now, here's why I encourage you to think about this. Lent is coming very soon, and it's a really good season to draw closer to the Lord, to say, "Lord, I am not satisfied with my walk with you." There were 12 disciples. Three of them went up on the mountain. The other nine stayed at the bottom of the mountain, did not experience the wonder of who Jesus was in his divinity. In my life, I don't want to be left at the bottom of the mountain. I want to go with the Lord like the three disciples. And we have a choice at the level of our faith, at the level of our fruitfulness, by the way we live, by what we ask the Lord to do in our lives. I want to be more than a bookmark in my family's history. I want to send waves in the pond of my life that affects other people. And I hope that you're at the same place. And Lent is a time to do that, to say, I'm not going to settle for what I can do by myself. I want to make a difference by the Lord and his Holy Spirit working through me, bringing change into lives of other people simply because of what is inside of me, by the way I live, by my testimony. Lent is a really good time to let go of old ways of thinking at the bottom of the mountain, like the nine disciples, and seek to go further on with the Lord, greater intimacy, greater understanding. And so here's the question I'd like to leave with you today. In light of what awaits us, what part of your life needs greater transformation? Are there areas in your life that you know are not pleasing to the Lord? Why not use these 6 weeks to deal with that, to say, Lord, I'm not satisfied with going to heaven with how I'm living now. Would you change my relationships? Would you help me change my attitude? Would you renew my thinking? Would you give me your heart for those who don't know you? And here I can tell you on good authority, if you ask, you won't be disappointed. He would love to take you deeper. Remember the story in Revelation, or the scripture in Revelation, where Jesus stands at the door and is knocking. Somebody has to open the door, and it's going to be you on the inside. So as we go forward, you will hear a lot in the news this time of year, getting ready for bikini season. Chuckle, chuckle. Now, you don't have to worry about that, but it's a really good time to change our diet. We can nourish ourselves by being at worship, by being with other believers, by daily immersing yourself in God's Word, by seeking to live out what you believe. It's the greatest diet in the world that you won't need medication for, but that will strengthen you in a way that will transform you on the inside as well as on the outside. What I'm saying is we participate in this process of ongoing transformation. Lord, do more in my life. Lord, take me to a deeper place. It started when you were first born again. It will continue, and you can participate with it to get to that place where the Lord has more and more of your life. For example, when a healing happens, my brother and I were just talking about this week, a few that we have seen in our family. When a healing happens, it's a glimpse of the heavenly reality of who Jesus is, and it's a glimpse of that ongoing transformation. The healing ultimately is temporary for people that are of Moses' generation, but it's a reminder that the kingdom of heaven is so far beyond what we see and touch. I've been with many people, dozens and dozens of people, at their moment of death who have described a glimpse of something that can't be seen with human eyes, glimpses of the New Jerusalem that is coming down out of heaven, glimpses of the precious stones that are in the walkway leading up to the city, glimpses of family members coming to greet them as they transition into glory, family members who describe Jesus and others, an angel coming to escort them into eternity. One of my early friends in my internship in Iowa was a funeral director who was a believer, and he talked about the amazing difference in the bodies of people that he knew to be Christians versus those who weren't. Those who were believers died in peace. Their muscular system showed it. Those who were dying without hope for eternity had very different expressions on their bodies and on their faces. And he said, and it has to be because of the horror of what they're seeing versus what Christians experience at the point of death. So I encourage you to go deeper with the Lord this Lent. Ask the Lord to take you to a place that you've never been in your own worship, in your own time together with Him, in the way that you live. He will take you further in your life, much further than you could ever go on your own. And so I would say to you, why settle for what you have? Why not ask the Lord for more, to be more fruitful, to have a greater impact? Let's continue our faith now as we express our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. Let's all arise. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people for today are Form 2, found on page 7 in your bulletin. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Archbishop Welby, our presiding bishop Curry, and our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and for Pastor Paul, for this gathering and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, and on our prayer list for health and recovery for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, George, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Michael, Bill and Judy, Joan, Velta, Rose, Arthur, and for our friends of Advent, Tony, Eliza Jennings residents, Sylvia, and Jack. The hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison, pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgiving you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now your assignment is to share that with one another. Hey, young lady. Oh, Dick. And with you.
Awesome sermon.
Thank you. Shirley. Peace with you. And with you. And with you. Lord bless you. Peace to the Lord. Sharon, peace be with you. Peace. Art, peace. Peace of the Lord. Be in mighty peace. And with you, Ray.
Okay. Good morning. So I think Pete has something to say. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last chance reminder that you don't snooze and lose. Tuesday night. One of the key words you used in your sermon today was diet. How is that going to apply to Fat Tuesday?
After Tuesday.
Oh, after Tuesday. Okay. Well, on the list of goodies, we're going to have sausages. We're going to have pancakes of various kind, like buttermilk, chocolate chip, banana, strawberry, blueberry, surprise pancake. Do you want hash browns, Ray?
Hash brown bacon and eggs?
We can do that. All of this is going to be grilled on, as Dick called it, my Christmas toy?
The Christmas toy.
Well, it's on our new grill, which is going to be spectacular. So this is at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night. Come with a healthy appetite. Bring your friends, relatives, neighbors, anybody that you know that would like to have a free meal, and come enjoy. Thank you.
Just a quick note, if in the hall as you're passing, I got rid of that, I think, 1965 drinking fountain. It was the original one, I think, that came with the building. There's a new drinking fountain out there with a filter on the incoming water. And as another note, on all these occasions, whether it be a spaghetti dinner, Shrove Tuesday, Eliza Jennings, take a picture and get it into Joanne, and she can post it on her website. Brian Frollo does a fantastic job of maintaining that website. So anything going on in the church, maybe a gift picture, get it on the website, and we'll post it. Thank you.
Gift?
Yes, gift. March 17th, following the 10 a.m. service, continues our gift discussion of the last fall, which is our DVD study. And this month is Comfortless Fall, and I have an article that is in there. And I know when you first hear Comfortless Fall, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm being asked to go to India and preach in the desert. Well, you may not need that.
Thank you, Denise. The ladies are getting together tomorrow night, so if you plan to join them, give Teddy a call or talk with her this afternoon today and let her know. Tomorrow night, March 4th. Today's session with Babylon is going to be about technology. And as Erwin Lutzer talks in the series, he contends that we are all addicted to technology. You know, we kind of shake our fingers at people who are addicted to drugs or pornography or other things. Well, in Erwin Lutzer's view, we can become just as addicted, much more subtly so, to technology. Gifts on the one, it's technology is, gives us gifts on the one hand, gives us a lot of challenges on the other. So come and join us after the service for this particular week study, the church, technology, and purity. On Wednesday night, we have our Ash Wednesday service that will start at 7:30. Note start time 7:30. Beginning of Lent after Pete's Shrove Tuesday pig out meal. And finally, there'll be someone to pray with you in the back during communion service. Peace be with you.
Dick, unless I missed it, was there an announcement you wanted to make about next Sunday?
I wrote it down, and then I forgot it, didn't I? Thank you. So time changes next Sunday. So as a reminder, set your clocks forward. In spring, we spring forward. So set your clocks forward Saturday night so that you don't miss next Sunday. Paul, thank you, sir. And now you're going to talk about, I'm going to remind you, you're going to talk about?
Anniversaries and birthdays?
Yeah.
It is the first Sunday of the month. Any birthdays that are here this morning in the month of March? If you are, please stand up and come forward.
Here I am.
All right. Why don't you introduce yourself and the date of your birthday?
Pat Paris, March 27th.
Let's pray a blessing on these folks and the ones they're standing in for. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we pray your favor, your protection, and your provision in this next year, that they would experience your hand in their lives at an even deeper level, O God. And we give you thanks to them for who they are in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't see any in adventures, but are there any anniversaries that we should know about today? Then let's continue by presenting our offerings to the Lord.
My thoughts, O Lord, and my
We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the holy body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
I invite you to come and receive what the Lord has provided for us. The body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given. Body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. The blood of Jesus given for you. The blood of Jesus given for you. New life comes through the blood of Jesus. receive the body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. John, the bread of heaven given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord, the bread of heaven given for you. Well, the body of our Lord given for you.
You shall the body of our Lord given for you.
The body of our Lord given for you.
But you shall not
receive the body of our Lord given for you.
Thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words to foreign men, and they will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I will go before you, always come, follow me.
Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you to life everlasting. Amen. Please remember Shrove Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, and Daylight Savings Time as you depart in peace to serve the Lord. Thanks.